Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore, and this is your SmackDown audio review for the SmackDown that aired June the 8th, 2012. And we do this audio every single week. Normally, I am joined by my partner, Jake Barnett, but Jake has family in town this weekend, so took the weekend off to spend the time with them, so I'm flying solo this time, but normally he's with me every Saturday as we break down the WWE SmackDown show for you guys. But it's not the only audio we do here each and every week. There's a lot of audio produced on the site every week, but it is primarily for members only. Jason Powell does a WWE Raw audio review, usually on Monday nights or sometimes Tuesday mornings. Will Pruitt comes along on Fridays to do a TNA Impact Wrestling audio review as well. Jake and Will get together on Wednesdays for the .NET Countdown. Jason Powell asks questions in a Q&A session on Friday where members can ask both wrestling and non-wrestling questions. I am formatting a new show, the Audio Slant, that's going to be just a... It's been and will continue to be kind of a little bit of everything show. We're just breaking down different news or looking back at moments in history that were special that week. And Jason and I get together every Thursday for our flagship show. We call it .NET Weekly. It is a news review show. We look at all the news of the week. This week we talked in great detail about some of the things that WWE needs to do to improve their creative side, and of course then went and broke down the news of the week, but previewed the Slammiversary pay-per-view this Sunday, and so lots of stuff every week for .NET Weekly, lots of audio each and every week for you guys to listen to, but you got to be a .NET member to get access to that. To do that, simply head on over to ProWrestling.net, look on the right-hand side of the page, and click on the .NET member sign-up page to get you started. $7.50 a month will get you 30 days, and if you wanted to go ahead and take the annual option, $5.50 a month will save you $2 each month when you take that annual option. And we're heading into the SummerSlam season. We know that Triple H and Brock Lesnar are going to be doing something there, so good time to get signed up and be a .NET member. But let's talk about the WWE SmackDown on June the 8th. It was taped back on June the 5th in Columbia, South Carolina. And the build for No Way Out continues on this show. They hinted at one match, but did not necessarily confirm that match, book that match for No Way Out yet, and that's an Intercontinental title match. This was an interesting show in that there were a couple of moments that were really good. The show itself kind of dragged along, but there were some moments that I thought were well done that gave me a lot of hope. It was funny. A lot of the things that happened, some of them were mentioned on the review that Jason and I did on Thursday as we talked about what WWE can do to improve different characters and just writing as a whole. They did some very smart things tonight with Damian Sandow. They did some things with Ryback was the same old thing, but they did some smart with Brutus Clay, I thought. So there were some good moments in here for sure, some silly comedy at times as well, though I did laugh at the opening segment. But the matches themselves this week, not great, not spectacular. Christian versus Dolph Ziggler was good, not as good as I thought it could have been. I'm not disparaging that match. It's certainly worth seeing. But you could just tell those guys have more. I mean, they put on a very acceptable match for television. It was certainly the match of the night. But I've seen Christian, I've seen Dolph Ziggler, I've seen what they can do. They can do more than they did. It doesn't mean that it's not worth watching, but it's just they held back, and so it's not a moment. It's not a match where you're sitting there holding your breath when it's all said and done. But still, a good match. They replayed the Michael Cole barbecue sauce bit in its entirety for some reason. That's a little upsetting, but hey, what are you going to do? But let's take this thing from the top and go through it. We're going to move pretty quick this week because it's one of those things where it wasn't a very newsworthy show. The moments that I thought were important, I will certainly point out. But a lot of it is like, here's what happens, and there's not a whole lot to really say about that, and you just kind of move on. We had our standard opening video and followed by the pyro, Michael Cole, Josh Matthews, and Booker T checking in on commentary. Actually, it was Josh Matthews and Booker T for just a moment as they teased showing the Michael Cole clip for later. I wasn't sure if Cole was going to be there or not, but he was, and of course, selling the fact that he was frustrated about it and whatnot. So that played out later in the show. Booker T, the problem here, I knew it was going to happen. I wrote it in my report. I bet Booker's going to be in rare form tonight. He was. every time Cole would get mouthy with him, Booker T would just, well, that's because you was covered in barbecue sauce. He came across as so impotently, just impotent. I guess is the best way to, because him and Cole were trying to banter, and Booker's got nothing and comes up with, but you was covered in barbecue sauce. That's the best you got. I mean, you can't, I knew it was going to be bad, and it was. It was promised from the beginning, and by God, they delivered perfectly. Alberto Rios' music hits, and he drives out in his car, whatever it was. I missed the pipe this week. We get a hyping of his match with Sheamus at No Way Out. Del Rio got in the ring, played a video, had the video play of him attacking Sheamus on Raw the week before. They're on the stage. He said he was going to break Sheamus' arm at the pay-per-view. Sheamus' music hit, and Del Rio, squared up to the ramp to look, and Ricardo Rodriguez came out dressed. He was in a white unitard to recreate the white skin. He had on wrestling tights and Sheamus' shirt and a little kid's toy replica of the World Heavyweight Championship. And he had on a spray-painted orange tuft of hair that was kind of spiky like Sheamus's, and he had the beard on him as well. It made me laugh. It really did. He looked so absolutely ridiculous you couldn't help but laugh. And he was doing all of Sheamus' spots and came out and beat on his chest, threw his arms out to the side. And he had really studied Sheamus. He had him pretty good there. He got in the ring and did some more. Del Rio even started laughing. I don't know if it was a forced laugh or if he just finally gave in and laughed. But he finally laughed and went, okay, I'm going to tell you the truth because Alberto Del Rio never lies. This is not Sheamus. He goes, but it could be because anybody can be Sheamus. Anybody can be a common hook. Anybody can beat on their chest. And so Ricardo beat on his chest. Anybody can yell. I forgot exactly what he said. Yell something, and Sheamus or Ricardo just kind of looked confused for a minute, and then did the and threw his arms out. He said anybody can be a common hooligan. Pretty good stuff. I was laughing pretty hard by the time it was all said and done. He goes, Sheamus, what are you going to do now? Are you going to kick my head off? Are you going to kick me with the bro kick? And Ricardo got all worked up, pounded on his chest again, acted like he was going to do the bro kick, but instead threw himself down on the ground and took a back bump. So Del Rio just laughed at him. Sheamus' music hit again, and the real Sheamus came out this time. He stormed down to the ring. Both guys attacked him. He kind of shoved Ricardo away and dumped him to the floor. Ricardo came back, but then took a nasty clothesline over the top rope as Sheamus beat up Del Rio. So everybody ends up on the floor. Sheamus drags Del Rio up the ramp, kicking his ass, slams him on the WWE sign. And then out of nowhere, Ricardo grabs his legs. Del Rio kicks him in the chest. They go down, and those two guys end up pretty much wailing on Sheamus for a while, getting the better of him. The refs came out and finally broke it up. Teddy Long came out onto the ramp, and he got a good cheer from the crowd. His music didn't hit. He just walked out, and the crowd popped for him pretty big. He said that John Laurinaitis wasn't there, and he was because he was preparing for his evaluation with Vince McMahon on Monday, so a plug for Monday's Raw. But he had been ordered to act in his place. He said, per Mr. Laurinaitis, per Johnny Ace, both men were going to be in matches tonight. Sheamus was going to face Kane, and Del Rio was going to face this man. And we get great Khali's music and, of course, a very upset Del Rio to end the first segment. It was good. It was funny. It had its moments. But more than anything else, what I was aware of from watching this is Del Rio has lost his shine. He really has. I was a guy that was very high on him. I know others were not. I'm sure they're going to go, well, I knew from the very beginning. No, you're wrong. He was very good when he came in, and I don't know if it's because of the way he's been booked or if he just quit trying as hard because of the way he's been booked or what it is, but he struggled to some degree. Struggle is the wrong word. It wasn't like he was falling over his lines or anything like that. He just wasn't. He struggled to be engaging. It's like there's been no evolution of his character in the least. he's still doing this kind of aristocrat thing, but they've cut that legs out of that so much from the booking that it just rings hollow and untrue, and he wasn't very good on the mic tonight as far as what he had to say. It was a lot of, but you know what, Sheamus? You know what, Sheamus? You know what? There was a lot of that kind of filler, like he was looking for his words. I was rightly unimpressed. I really felt like Ricardo Rodriguez saved this segment in as much as the segment could be saved until Sheamus came out and, of course, the actual fighting started. So I disappointed in Del Rio here, to say the least. I was not impressed with his offering and kind of shocked at what he had to offer. I even rambled on about it in my in the report. I was saying, you know, they're trying to get Del Rio over, but they're not. But he's in the main event match. It's like they're only halfway trying to make him look important. It's just, I mean, what they're doing with him continues to be confusing. What he's giving out is not a good. I mean, it's one of those things where it's a chicken and egg situation. It's like, I can understand why you're not pushing him all the way, because he's not really producing great stuff, but he was, and then you cut his legs out from underneath him, and now that he's not, I just don't know whose fault it is. So a frustrating time right now for Alberto Rio, I think, I mean, I don't know how frustrated he is, but for me, for people watching, and certainly for me, it's just frustrating, because he was very good, and then marginalized, and now not very good, and it's very frustrating. After commercial, we got our first match of the night, Alberto Rio defeating Great Khali at 3 minutes and 29 seconds. A lot of Khali, you know, hitting the chops on Del Rio and knocking him around. Del Rio worked the leg for a while, but then finally hit the arm out on a distraction from Ricardo Rodriguez and locked in that cross-arm breaker for the submission victory. They made a big deal about Khali tapping out. It's too little too late when it comes to Del Rio. I mean, it's one of those things where they marginalized it for so long, and then, ooh, they make the biggest man on the roster tap out. I mean, that should be enough, but it wasn't. It's just not enough yet. So he needs to be rebuilt. That's the problem with him. And not he didn't have to change his gimmick and all of that, but he does need to be rebuilt. He's got to be, you know, he's got to get some quality wins for a while, have a couple of decent feuds, and you know, I just don't know. He doesn't seem engaged. He doesn't seem very good. I don't know if it's him or if it's just residual effect from before, but he's not very good, and what they're doing with him is not very good. It's not enough. It's not the right thing. It's not enough of the right thing. So problems for Del Rio right now. He is a character afloat. We get the Big Show heel turn video, which was very good. That video, more than anything, made me buy into the Big Show heel turn. I mean, it really did. It addressed the fact that he had been the goofy guy, and that was what he thought was the right thing to do. But now he doesn't have to do that anymore. It's, you know, he can be who he is, and I like it. I mean, I really do. We've complained so much about Smiling Big Show, and they used it as a reason to turn him heel. It's hard to argue against that. So good stuff from WWE production yet again on this. After the video, we cut backstage to Teddy Long, who was talking on the phone with someone. The Funkadactyls danced in, and Teddy hung up and was certainly checking them out. Brodus Clay walked in and asked Teddy what was good. Teddy said he had good news and bad news. The bad news is to protect Clay, or to prevent Clay from being around Big Show because of what happened on Monday. Clay was banned from Raw. He would no longer be allowed to be at Raw events. Clay got real upset about that, and I like the way they phrased it as, it was because, you know, they were protecting, John Laurinaitis, the heel, was protecting Brodus Clay from Big Show. You know, he doesn't allow Clay to get back at Big Show either, but and I think that these two are maybe headed for a collision course. That could be a pretty good feud if they do it right, if they build to it right. So I'm really, you know, at first we were talking about, oh, just happy and dancing the life away again, and that's not the case, because they continued from there and said, you know, you've got the good news is you're going to be on SmackDown, and he said, and he got real serious, said, well, tell all my SmackDown opponents when I see them, I see Big Show, and I'm going to eat them up. and he and the Dactyls left, as I wrote, with great fanfare and attitude. It was kind of funny. I like this. I mean, we were concerned about, you know, Bruce Lee just going back to being the dancing guy again, and that's not what we got. We got him very serious here. I mean, he came in and did the kind of goofy thing, but he thought he was going to be able to go back to Raw, and then he found out he wasn't, so now he's going to kill everybody on SmackDown thinking that it's Big Show. I like that. I mean, I really like what they've done there, and that led to our second match of the night after the commercial break, Brodus Clay defeating, squashing, really, Derek Bateman in 1:07. He went right at Bateman, tossed him to the floor, slammed him around on the railings down there, threw him into the timekeeper's area, hit him with that running headbutt, rolled him back in the ring, hit his follow-away slam, exploder suplex-type move, and then the splash for the win. And, you know, it's one of those things where this, because of that other segment, this squash actually meant something, which is pretty rare for the squash matches that they generally do on WWE. This made a lot of sense, and it showed a much more brutal side of Clay. It showed that angrier side, and the fans in Columbia seemed to respond to it better. There were lots and lots and lots of oohs and ahs. You know, a recent date, it's been he dances in the ring, the place is going great, they're, you know, going crazy, they're up and dancing and cheering and hollering, and the bell rings and they die, because nobody likes the guy in the ring. And I've said that he can't get over working a babyface moveset, and I believe that. And this allows him to really kind of get away from that babyface moveset and to work more of a heel moveset that I think he's going to be more, you know, better equipped with. And so this was a smart move all the way around. I really like what they've done here. If this continues and it builds to he and Big Show, again, if built correctly, I think that could be an interesting feud. It's not a main event feud, but I think it could be an interesting feud. And I think that Clay has got enough power to be able to, much like Mark Henry and Big Show were able to do more than you thought because of the strength of both men, I think that Brodus Clay has enough power to make a match of Big Show more interesting than you would expect. So, good stuff there. They went to commercial, I think, at that point. Booker T's favorite Raw moment was shown. It was he versus Buff Bagwell when they main evented on Raw for the WCW Championship not long after the company was purchased. You know, they're continuing to build these things, show everybody's different thing. Booker T was still talking about it. When they came back live to the ringside area, Sin Cara made his ring entrance to a pretty big pop. It could have been piped in. I don't know, Columbia. I don't know. I don't know if there was. I don't know a lot about Colombia. Not sure about the population as far as Hispanic population. So I don't know if maybe there was just, you know, a lot of people there who were hyped to see Sin Cara, or if it was piped in. It was kind of hard to tell. Drew McIntyre was already at the ringside. He slid in the ring with no entrance for our third match of the night. Sin Cara defeated Drew McIntyre in 3:16. Lots of selling from Sin Cara here. Lots of, you know, Drew attacked him right at the bell and ended up hitting him with a big boot at one point, and lots of selling from Sin Cara. This was not a squash match by any stretch of the imagination. He showed a lot of ass here, and pretty good match. It was the finish was a tornado DDT, you know, a tilt-a-whirl tornado DDT. It paused a couple of times. I couldn't tell if they were trying to sell it as, you know, as two different. Michael Cole said, you know, did you see that there were two reversals in there off of the same move? And that could have been it. That could have been him covering. Could have been a botch, but it came off okay if it was a botch. Let's put it that way. They recovered very nicely if it was a botch into that tornado DDT, which I guess will be his finishing maneuver now. They had that thing where both guys ended up on the top rope and the backflip, I forgot what they called it, and then they had the La Mística, as he used to call it when he was in Mexico, the thing where they did the spin, all the tilt-a-whirl all the way around to a face bump with the arm in behind, and apparently in Mexico he would turn that into, I can't remember if Jake said it was a Kimura lock or some other type of elbow or shoulder lock, but now this was a DDT this time. So who knows, the evolution of Sin Cara's finisher continues, but it was an interesting match. It was okay. It was interesting insofar as I can't believe they had Sin Cara sell that much. I'm not saying it was necessarily a bad idea. just very surprising that, you know, he came back, I guess it was just last week, and had the one match, and, you know, they're not doing anything to really reestablish him in the sense of squashes like they have in the past. He's a guy I think that could benefit from a couple of quick wins, and it was fast. It was 3 minutes semi-change. I don't know that I would have him do as much selling today as they did. I don't think it hurts him too much. I just think it keeps him, it just slows down his progression, his rebuild, from coming back from that injury. But not a terrible match by any stretch of the imagination, and no real harm done. Just interesting compared to the way they had been. Back from commercial at that point, we have our two Ryback jobbers in the ring, and for those who know, you're already rolling your eyes. For those who don't know, I work with a company here in North Carolina, in Concord, North Carolina. I actually work with three different companies now in North Carolina. I'm recording this, getting ready to leave to go prepare for my next gig with my third new group. But Pro Wrestling Evo was the group I got my start with. I do play-by-play and ring introduction for them. We'll actually be on iPay-Per-View on June 30th. More information on that coming to the site very soon. And it's been a lot of fun. And on Monday Raw, Kirby Mack was the Arthur Rosenberg character that got such a big hit from the fans watching and talking about him on Twitter. He's an Evo alumni. He's getting ready to wrestle for one of our new championships there. And another guy who has recently been working with Evo, John Skyler, was one of the men tonight. I don't know if he was Kevin Mahoney or Tony Androidus. I don't know which one was which. He was the one in the teal. If you go back and look, he was the one in the teal pants. John Skyler is his name on the independent scene. I've worked with him in a couple different promotions, and a guy that I think has a great look, has a lot of skill, and I think he's a guy that could get a look. You know, he's a little bit shorter, and that's kind of the problem, but I think I think that short stature thing is starting to go away to a huge extent. I mean, you look at Brian and Punk and those guys, and there's still going to be the market and the need for the great big guys, but I think that height is quickly becoming, or quickly going away, as a detriment to you. And so keep your eyes out for John Skyler in the next couple of years. I don't know that he's ready today, but for WWE, certainly not the main stage, but a guy that I think is very close, and could be somebody to look forward to in the near future. So just wanted to throw that out there. It was great. Evo takes over WWE. We were joking about on Twitter because we had an Evo guy on Monday Raw and on Tuesday SmackDown, or Friday SmackDown this week. And so that was a lot of fun. Not fun watching Ryback kill these guys, beat them in a minute and 46 seconds. Skyler took a nasty, nasty power bomb. I mean, Ryback just drove him into the ground and killed him. It was, that power bomb made me cringe just a little bit. Next time I see him, I have to ask him how tough that power bomb was, because that looked brutal. But Ryback, you know, beats both guys, hits both of them with his muscle buster, Samoan drop, finishing maneuver, and that was that. You know, he continues to ooh and ah the crowd and wow the crowd, but I really think this is going to wear out its welcome very, very quickly. It's not something that can go on for some time, because again, you know, you've got Sid Cara beating guys like Drew McIntyre, and other guys, you know, beating, you know, let's see, who else was it? You got, you know, Clay beating Johnny Curtis. Maybe Johnny Curtis is the wrong guy, but Derek Bateman, that's who it was. I'm sorry, Derek Bateman. You have guys beating other guys on the roster, and you have Ryback beating guys you've never heard of. And I've heard of John Skyler, but I realize that I am, at least in the national scene, a minority. And this is going to get old. I mean, I don't hate it. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think it's going to last very long. I think that eventually fans are going to stop caring. The power moves are going to get old, and they're going to be like, yeah, that's great. Can you wrestle somebody who looks like they're supposed to be here? And until he does, I think this is just going to wear out its welcome very, very quickly. The Peep Show was hype for after the commercial. Oh, and just real quick, too, one more thing about Ryback is he's going to get the Goldberg comparisons are going to continue, and they're just going to get worse while that goes on, too. And I don't think they really want to go down that road. I think it's a bad idea. I think they think it's a bad idea, too, and I just don't – it's just going to get worse as that goes along. But they teased the peep show after the break, and when we came back, the stage crew was still setting it up. It was kind of weird for a minute. I wasn't sure. I'm like, why are we seeing this? Is this a mistake? And then Cody Rhodes' music hit, and he came out while they were still setting it up. He chased away the tech guys, trashed the set primarily, and grabbed a mic and said that he was not going to be a guest on the peep show because he didn't have to answer questions. Christian was the one who needed to answer questions because Christian had stolen the title from him and was pandering to the masses and all of that. Christian's music hit, and he came to the ring with a mic. He said he was the guy who beat Cody for the title and for all of his peeps. Cody called him a hypocrite and said, you know, before Over the Limit, you didn't care anything about these people. You know, all you cared about was yourself. What made you change? And that was great. I mean, before we even talk about what Christian said, and what Christian said was fine and made sense in the grand scheme of things, but oh my God, it was so refreshing for them to actually refer to something that friggin' happened. Yesterday you hated everybody, today you love everybody. Why the hell is that? You're full of crap. That was just, I mean, that used to happen all the time. And so people, characters had reasons, they had motivations, they were well-rounded, and it was great. And Cody did a great job pulling that out here, and Christian, you know, gave an answer, and I'll give you the answer right now, but I thought it was a good answer. It was so nice to see them do something like that. But Christian's answer was that, while he was out, a lot of things had happened. He had inducted a guy into the Hall of Fame, his best friend in Edge, and it got him realizing that, you know, this could be over in just a minute, and he realized that he could be over in just a minute, that it was a privilege to wrestle in front of these people. He looked at himself in the mirror and said, do I want to be the guy who comes out here and continues to beg for one more match, or do I want to be more? And that's what I want to be. I wanted to be more. Cody said that was a load of crap, and that Christian took advantage of a situation and he got lucky at Over the Limit. Cody said no way out, he was going to get hit. So he said, my title is coming home. He said, do you mind if I share something with you? And Christian said, actually, yes, I do mind if you share something with me. Why don't you just shut up? He said, since you came out here and got the peep show started off early, Cody, that's great, thanks for that, but I'm going to end it right now by wiping the mat with you. Cody dropped his mic, and they kind of squared off. Dolph Ziggler's music hit at that point. He came to the ring with a mic. He said he was cutting the show off because he was there to show off and to beat Christian. He kind of shooed Cody from the ring. Cody joined the commentary team, and we got our bell for the fifth match of the night. Christian defeating Dolph Ziggler at 10 minutes and 47 seconds. This is every bit the match that Ziggler had with Sheamus, in the sense of Ziggler, you know, showed some great moves and had Christian on the ropes a few times. He went for the zigzag and missed it. That allowed Christian to hit the frog splash, his new finisher, for the win. No involvement from Cody Rhodes, nothing like that. Cody did say that he had asked for his rematch at No Way Out. They did not officially announce the match on the show, but I'm sure that's going to happen. So, yeah, you know, I fully expect both these guys to go with No Way Out and to get a good match. And if you've got some time and are looking for some decent wrestling, you know, this was good in that sense. But again, as I wrote in my report, it shows more than anything what they could do, you know, on a pay-per-view with a major feud. I'd like to see these guys feud over the world title at some point with Ziggler as the champion and Christian trying to get it. I think it would make for a very good feud and some incredible matches. So they held back a little bit here, but not, you know, again, it wasn't bad in any way, shape, or form. It was certainly very good, I can't rave about it, I guess, is where it is. I would think a lot of people would, you know, see on paper Christian versus Dolph Ziggler for, you know, 11 minutes and go, holy crap, I bet that was great. It was good. It was very good. But it wasn't great. It just wasn't. They held back some, and I think that's obvious. After commercial, we get the Raw rebound. John Cena beating Lord Tensai, and then the entire Michael Cole fiasco in its entirety. When they came back, Matthews and Booker were giggling their asses off at Cole. I mean, just really giving him a hard time. Cole pops his headset off, grabs the microphone, and said, "May I have your attention, please? The heat." He goes, "Okay, I get it. You know, you all had your laugh on Monday. I've heard all the laughs, the sniggers, everything else. And I have to tell you that, you know, I hope that that we could all be mature and just move on. JR's music hit at that point. The place kind of went nuts. And Hornswoggle came out dressed as JR. He had all the black on and whatnot. He got in the ring with a jar of barbecue sauce in his hand. He took a mic and pretty much just babbled and said some JR stuff. You know, Slobberknocker, Boomer Sooner, show it again, show Slobberknocker again, show Slobberknocker again. That sort of thing. And, you know, really classy. They show kind of just some highlights of different things of Cena with the barbecue sauce, with the fire extinguisher and chopping coal in the chest and all that sort of stuff. Just different highlights and whatnot, and Hornswoggle laughing the whole time, Boomer Sooner is Oklahoma football team, Boomer Sooner, God, just stop it with the JR. I mean, he's the greatest. He's probably the best announcer in the last 30 years in this business. Arguably in the top two or three of greatest of all time. And whenever you parody, I don't mind the parody so much, but they just had him mumble and saying the same thing over. It was ridiculous. I'm not going to go down this path. I'm not going to get worked up about Vince McMahon and JR, but shut up. Damian Sandow's music hit right after all this kind of played out while Hornswoggle was still in the ring. He walked out cutting a promo about how stupid Hornswoggle is and how ridiculous it is and how that sort of thing drags down everybody and makes them dumber. And he said he climbed in the ring, said he was going to do something about it. He leaned down at Hornswoggle and did the "You're Welcome" bit. Started to close on him. Hornswoggle backtracked. Tyson Kidd ran out and hit Sandow. Sandow fell to the floor and acted like he was going to get back in and they were going to fight, but he said no and walked away. As he was walking away, Kidd checked on Hornswoggle, helped him from the ring, and while he was doing that, Sandow charged back down, attacked Kidd from behind, hit him with his brutal knee lifts, and then hit him with that, I think it's called straight jacket neck breaker, which is his finisher. Did the arrogant cover pose thing that he does. So I guess the feud with Tyson Kidd and Damian Sandow continues. And again, I really like this idea. Not so much Sandow versus Kidd. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that, but that's not what I'm really getting into on this. Jake and I were talking last week and said that Damian Sandow really needed a foil for that character to be the best. And we talked about a guy like Zack Ryder who could fit that role very well. And I think a guy like Hornswoggle is actually a better choice than Zack Ryder in this case, because you can put guys like Kidd in there who can wrestle for Hornswoggle by proxy. The heat comes off of Hornswoggle, who has plenty to give, and really no other way to get guys over in at the same time to use that heat for good. And Sandow can get over, beat up on guys who are not, you know, they're not going to lose a whole lot of heat, and B, it's going to be guys that don't have a whole lot of heat anyway. So, but my point is that, you know, if he beats Tyson Kidd, you go, he beat Tyson Kidd. If he beats Tyson Kidd as a proxy for Hornswoggle, that's a different match, that's a different reaction from the fans, and I think something that could be very effective. So, if they stay with Sandow and Hornswoggle, a very good move there. I mean, certainly a hugely intelligent move. After commercial, Kane's getting ready in the back, and Matt Stryker walks up and asks him about his feelings about being able to defeat both the world champion and the WWE champion in the same week. Kane said he didn't have any feelings, so you'd have to ask Punk how it felt to be chokeslammed, or you can ask Sheamus how it would feel later after he had done it. He said he was focused and concentrating on the WWE, on winning the Triple Threat and the WWE Championship on Sunday. He started to walk off, but Stryker just said, "Very quickly, I'm really sorry. Can you tell me about the look shared between you and AJ on Raw?" Kane gave him a look then that made Stryker wilt and walk away. Kane walked off, and AJ popped out of a corner where she had been spying on him and just watched him walk away. When she popped out, it was a little bit funny because they were playing Kane's music and she was just standing there with Kane's music playing when it was all said and done. So that was a little bit funny, but I like what they did with her later in the show. We'll talk about her when we get there. But I like this tease, and I think now I know what they're doing, but we'll talk about it here in a minute. when we get to where she plays in and see if I'm right. But at that point, we go back to the ring. One of the Usos, Jimmy Uso, ended up being was in the ring. Teddy Long was forced to come out and announce the newest superstar with his lover, Oksana, Antonio Cesaro. And, of course, Teddy Long had that history with Oksana, and now she's all over Antonio. That was your sixth match of the night, Antonio Cesaro beating Jimmy Uso in 59 seconds. Another weird match in that it was very, very, very short, and yet Cesaro did a lot of selling. Jimmy Uso went right at him immediately, beat him down a little bit, and Antonio came right back with the very European uppercut, the pop-up European uppercut, and then his finisher, which we still don't have a name for the win. So really only two or three moves from Cesaro to win this match, and so it was kind of squashes in that sense, but Uso got in a lot of offense for him to sell some. So a little bit of a strange match in that sense. Oksana gets in the ring and starts, you know, fondling all over him and whatnot. And Teddy has to get in the ring and raise his hand. While he raises his hand, Antonio and Oksana, you know, kiss each other passionately. So Teddy slams his arm down and walks out of the ring. I'm so sick of this damn. I'm happy to see Antonio Cesaro there, but I'm just tired of the Teddy Long thing, and I'm waiting for the payoff at this point. I'm ready for John Laurinaitis to get beat so that Teddy Long can get his job back, because as much as he annoys me as the general manager, this is even worse. I'm not buying into this with Oksana. I'm just not. I didn't buy it with those two from the beginning, and now that she's turned on him, I don't care. I just don't care. I don't think he matters enough to really care at that point. Sheamus' favorite Raw moment after the commercial break was his winning the Battle Royal in 2009 that allowed him to go on. If I remember right, that was where he went on to beat John Cena in the table match and become the WWE Champion for the first time. At that point, we get Sheamus' ring entrance. I'm sorry, the Raw moment was before the commercial. So we got Sheamus' ring entrance, then the commercial, then Kane's ring entrance, and our seventh match of the night and your main event. Sheamus defeated Kane by an apparent disqualification that could have also been a no contest. At 13 minutes and 42 seconds, we didn't get an announcement, but the only person attacked by the outside interference was Sheamus. So I'm going to go with the fact that Kane was disqualified, but who knows how it goes down in the quote-unquote official record. But this match, I had a lot of high hopes for this match. I mean, Kane has shown in the past couple of weeks that he could be very good in the ring and had some good matches with Punk and Bryan. And I realize that's Punk and Bryan, but Sheamus has been very good as well and has had some good matches with those guys. And I was really looking forward to this. I thought this might be good. It was slow. It was clunky. I think both guys are big guys that work well with smaller guys, but maybe not so great with other big guys. And that's why it didn't work as well here as I had thought. It wasn't terrible by a stretch of the imagination, but it was far, it underperformed my expectations. And that could be my expectations were too high. I'm willing to accept that. That's why I'm not, crapping on it. But it was not nearly as good as I thought it was going to be. The finish on this comes, they've been back and forth several times. Kane looks like he's ready to choke slam Sheamus, but AJ comes running out and stands at the bottom of the ramp and kind of smiles at him and waves at him. Kane does the puppy dog monster confused head tilt thing and just kind of stares at her, and then he turns around and takes a bro kick from Sheamus. At that point, Ricardo Rodriguez and Alberto Del Rio hit the ring. He went for the bro kick. Sheamus hit White Noise at that point. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Sheamus comes over and hit the White Noise. He set up for the bro kick and charge. Kane caught the foot, spun him around. Both ended up hitting clotheslines on each other. Del Rio and Rick Rod ran out, and Del Rio never made it to the ring. I'm sorry, all that happened after. That's right, we get the run in. I'm confusing it here. This is why I should read my reports. I'm trying to do it from memory. We get the finishing sequence. Both guys end up pinning clotheslines on each other. Ricardo and Del Rio run out to attack Sheamus. Del Rio never actually made it in the ring, just Ricardo did. Sheamus knocks him down. He's screaming for Del Rio to get in the ring. He turns around into a clothesline. Then sets up for the choke slam. AJ comes out at that point, looks at him and smiles. Kane gives her that, you know, confused dog monster look where he turned her head to the side. He turns around into a bro kick and rolls from the ring at that point. Ricardo Rodriguez, who was still dressed as Sheamus, recovers and takes a step towards Sheamus and eats his own bro kick to end the show to leave Sheamus standing tall in the ring without taking anything off of Del Rio directly. That was the end of the show. Again, a decent match and a you know, good continuation of the feud between Sheamus and Del Rio. If it was the go-home show, I don't know that it would have been the best way, but it wasn't, so I think this works out okay here. And that's it. That's your SmackDown audio review. Again, it was kind of it wasn't a very newsworthy show. It was kind of underwhelming in the grand scheme of things, but a lot of smart things again on here. I think you look at Damian Sandow and Hornswoggle, that's very smart. You look at how they positioned Clay and how he acted in his first match, that was very smart. I think there's a lot of good things going on SmackDown, in the undercard that we're not seeing anywhere else, and that gives me hope that maybe, to be quite honest, Vince McMahon's not paying attention to SmackDown very much. He's just working on his main event and letting the other guys do what the hell they want to do for SmackDown, and that could be a good thing overall. So we'll see how it goes over the next few weeks. Another week away for No Way Out, and we will talk to you guys next week. Jake Barnett should be back for me next week with the All Access audio, and again, you can access all the other audio that we provide each week, the Raw and Impact Wrestling audio reviews, Q&A audio from Jason Powell, .NET Countdown with Jake Barnett and Will Pruitt, my audio slant, and of course, the .NET Weekly flagship show with Jason and I. Plus, you get all of that and access to the ad-free version of the site, the .NET member forum, and the .NET member blog section, where you can blog like we do all the time. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much for your support of ProWrestling.net. Jake and I will be back with you next week. Everyone have a fantastic weekend, and take care.